Hello, and welcome to Oh No, Ross and Carrie, the show where we don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal, but take part ourselves.
Yep, when they make the claims, we show up so you don't have to. I'm Carrie Poppy.
Hi, Carrie Poppy.
Oh, hey.
I'm Ross Blatcher.
Who are you? Oh,
and
my longtime friend.
We are going back today. We're taking a little break from our summer of UFOs to take you to the Self-Realization Fellowship.
The summer of self-realization.
Our old friends at the SRF.
Yeah.
Because we received news from them recently.
Mm-hmm. Somber news.
Yeah.
That the leader of the SRF,
Sri Mrinalini Mata,
has passed away. And if you joined us for that investigation, you may remember that she was the leader of the SRF.
She'd been with it for a long time, but had been the leader since 2011.
Now, I do want to say, if you haven't heard those episodes, this one may feel a little out of sync for you. So maybe go back and hear those.
That's a good point. So if you're a new listener, hello, welcome.
Hello.
My name is Elder Blatcher, and you might want to go back and listen to earlier episodes.
Yes.
That was great.
No, that was good. That was good.
Ready for Broadway.
You might also notice this episode might be a little less fun and high spirits because it is about a memorial service.
A little somber.
Yeah, we just found out that she had passed away. You got an email.
I did. Yeah, I'm still on the mailing list for the Self-Realization Fellowship, and they'll send me little selected quotes every now and then from Paramahansa Yogananda, and I'll read those, and they're nice.
I don't think I'm getting those.
Why not? What's the deal?
Or maybe they're going to my spam.
Hmm.
Or maybe I never signed up.
Yeah, I can't remember how I actually signed up for it, but I've got to give them credit. They don't email too much.
Okay.
You know, it comes
nice.
Maybe once every other week or something. It doesn't feel like, ugh, all of these.
Another thing.
SRF emails. And so, yeah, I saw one that mentioned that the then current president, Sri Mrinalini Mata, I want to pronounce it Mrinalini Mata. Mm-hmm. I'll spell it out here because I know I would want to hear how it's spelled. Mrinalini.
Mrinalini. But are you saying they said it some other way?
It feels like everyone was always dropping a syllable in there somewhere. So
yeah, like Mrinalini.
Yeah, it felt like it came out as Sri Mrinalini Mata.
Yeah.
She had passed away after many years of faithful service. Over 70 years she had been in the Self-Realization Fellowship.
So she joined as a teenager along with her family.
Yeah, she was 14, was it?
Yeah, I believe so. And when she was 15, she kind of took her vows, it sounds like.
Like joined the monastic order.
Right.
And her whole family was involved. So yes, she had been a longstanding, high-ranking member of the SRF. And then when the former head of the SRF passed away, Diamata, she took over. We should at least kind of lay out just in broad strokes what the Self-Realization Fellowship is.
Sure.
So there was this gentleman who took on the name Paramahansa Yogananda.
You've probably seen his face and not even known what you were looking at.
Right.
Because he wrote a very famous book called Autobiography of a Yogi.
Steve Jobs even recommended that as
one of his two books he ever read.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was Steve Jobs.
Right.
But yeah, it famously advocates only sleeping 4 hours a night and spending most of your time in meditation.
Yeah, full of miracles. And he came to the West from India, and he is credited as bringing yoga to the West.
But not necessarily yoga in the form you think of it now.
Right.
You can get all that information from our last episode.
Right, Kriya Yoga. He also had this line of gurus that came before him that are revered, mm-hmm. that include Jesus and a guy named Babaji, mm-hmm. who has been alive for 2,000 plus years.
Yeah, he's in a cave somewhere.
Still alive. Somewhere.
Right.
Now, don't you want to listen to those episodes?
Yeah, go listen.
You haven't heard them?
I should go re-listen.
This is good.
It's been 2 years, Ross. So we haven't been there in 2 years.
Yeah, we went to the convocation 2 years ago, and they have this large annual meeting here in Los Angeles. And it was fun to come back. It felt like coming home again.
Yeah, and it did.
Certain things, you know, I would be hazy on, and then they'd pop back into my head. Yay.
It's a sad reason to go back, but at the same time, no one there was all that sad, and you'll find out why. But yeah, so in a way, it was very welcoming and warm.
Yeah, so we knew from the email and the website that it was going to be at the Westin Bonaventure Hotel. And that's where we had been previously for the convocation. So we knew where to go. And both Carrie and I had the same dilemma as we were getting ready. Because I'm looking at my shirts.
Yeah.
I get home from work and I was like, okay, I'm going to grab a button-up shirt. And I kind of went for this light seafoam color. And I thought, oh, no. This is a memorial. Shoot. What if it's supposed to be bright and gay?
Yeah, because here's the thing. They don't think of death as a sad thing necessarily.
Right.
So when you die and you shed this physical body, you go on to eternity where you're much happier. Also, also your presence is felt even more strongly by your community. So to them, maybe this won't even be a sad thing. So we're both staring at our black clothes.
Picturing like, everyone else in yellow or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We both have the same thought. Okay. Well, I guess I could go for the bright clothes. But then you really look like a dick if you show up and everyone is in all black.
Yep. I think we both played that same calculus out in our heads. Yeah. So we were wearing black when we met up.
Yep.
We walked over to the metro, took that. I instantly realized as we were getting on the metro that I needed to pee really bad.
Yes, you did, because of another investigation we're doing that we'll tell you about later.
I'm on day five of something. We'll tell you all about
something
it.
Something I'm already done with, but I remember the peeing.
So we got there and they let us in, but there was a dedicated room where the proceedings were happening for the memorial that was for people currently attending the convocation.
Right. So there was the California room and the Pasadena room.
Sri Merlini Mata passed away on August 3rd this year, and the conference had just started on August 6th. My birthday.
Oh, that's true. And a Raelian high holiday. So, if you haven't heard the Raelian episodes, go listen to those
too. Go back to those. Do we need a teaser to inspire people
to listen? It's a UFO group, but not at all like the UFO groups we've been investigating this summer, I must say.
Indeed. Oh, yeah.
Very different.
Different flavor of UFOs. If you're like, I need more UFOs this summer.
Yeah.
So instead, we got ushered into a separate room, the Pasadena room.
Right.
So we took a couple escalators down. The Bonaventure Hotel is this gigantic kind of skyscraper thing in Los Angeles that's a bunch of cylinders attached to one another, coated in glass mostly with external elevators. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so we went downstairs and went into that room, and there were a ton of people.
Yeah.
This is overflow.
This is the overflow room. This is what Ellen would call the riffraff room.
And it was, she calls it that?
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. And it was overflowing. I estimate around 500 people, maybe.
That sounds right. So the main room probably had more than that, right? The
convocation attendees, and I'm sure everyone was there because this was their president who just passed away.
Leader by proxy.
Living leader.
And I had one question going in. I think you had the same question.
Who's the successor?
Oh, okay. I had two questions going in. All right, That's right. We did talk about that too. I really wanted to know, did she leave her body willingly?
Yes, we did talk about that. That was one of those phrases I was trying really hard to remember. I couldn't the other day, and I wasn't going to look it up. And finally, it popped into my head as we were walking there. Mahasamadhi.
Mahasamadhi?
Mahasamadhi.
I don't even remember.
That's the name for willingly giving up your body, as Paramahansa Yogananda did back in 1954, whenever it was.
You got it right.
Yes.
I just looked it up. Whew. Yeah. So Mahasamadhi is something that only realized yogis and yoginis supposedly do.
So I can't do it?
You can't do it. You're not realized. I realize you're here.
What
but
if I'm
you're not realized.
Self-realized?
Nope. Well, yes, but then everyone would know it and you would be a big, big deal. Only like an average deal.
All right. Well,
yeah. I mean, at SRF, in my life, you're a big deal.
Can you put that on your bucket list?
To become realized?
To Mahasamadhi.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Kick the bucket list.
Definitely.
So you wanted to know if there was a similar story about her.
Yeah.
And that's true. We were talking about that, especially because of the timing of it.
Right.
Had she died right as the convocation was starting?
Right.
Which seemed quite the synchronicity.
Right. Whoa. That was an owl. Sometimes when there are successors to the main guy, sometimes they're considered, you know, equally powerful, like, you know, the chain of Dalai Lamas, but sometimes not at all. Sometimes it's like everyone's still kind of looking back toward that original founder.
Right. And you're just the functionary, the steward of Gondor.
Right. Right.
I intentionally threw in a Lord of the Rings reference just to throw you off.
I thought that's what it was, if that helps. So yeah, it was not clear like, okay, was she like realized in the way that he was
right,
so that she could leave her body willingly?
Because they have this line of gurus of which he is part, but it doesn't seem even Sri Dayamata was considered part of the line of gurus.
Right.
There was another successor in between that had been chosen by Paramahansa Yogananda, and he passed away 3 years after he was put in office. He had been a really, really wealthy contributor to the ministry for lack of a better word, early on. Yeah, so then Sri Diamanta then was the president forever.
And she is beloved. Like, we heard about Sri Diamanta more than Sri Marinalini Mata,
who is currently alive. Yeah, actually, we had three questions going in because we wanted to know if people would be quite so passionate about her.
Right.
Because, yeah, even when she was alive, when we were a part of the SRF, we never really saw her. They would play videos of Diamanta instead.
Yeah, all the time. And so we'd see her face. And I remember when we first got involved in SRF, like being a little confused because I'd see pictures of Sri Marinalini Mata and I was like, oh, she looks different here. And it was because I was used to seeing Sri Diamanta.
And they're both very sweet looking, beautiful ladies with white hair. They look kind of similar, but, you can tell it's a different person.
No, she doesn't look exactly the same there.
Right.
Now, I had four main questions going
okay.
in, which was, can I get a drink of water as I go in?
Okay, that I guess was quickly I had answered. A fourth question, which is, where's the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we had five big questions going in. Because you really had to pee.
Oh.
And the thing you're doing compels you to drink water all the time as well.
Right. So we drank some more water when we got in there.
We did, which is probably not the best move for you.
And I got to say, I think we'd mentioned before, it is truly a multi-generational, multi-ethnic crowd. It's a really cool just collection of people. It felt like a really good mix of humanity.
Yeah. I mean, I think it still leans white.
And to answer our earlier predicament, people were wearing a wide range of clothing. So
yes.
We would have fit in no matter what.
It's true. But I did see people in black, so I didn't feel weird for wearing black either.
And people in white and people in blue and a lot of monastics wearing kind of the saffron colored robes and the yellow robes. And as we had seen before, a lot of ushers wearing dark suits, usually tall men.
With their earpiece, you know a guy is real important when he has that earpiece that has the kind of squiggle that goes to his ear.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's like, oh, I see that squiggle. There are a few of those. Actually, I recognized one of the guys, one of the squigglers.
Oh, from before?
Mm-hmm. So we had six main questions going in. One was, where should we sit?
Was solved for us.
Yeah. We were led to
one of the guards was a woman and she spotted two chairs for us, let us right in. So we were in the middle of the aisle somewhere on the left-hand side.
And we sat next to a couple of people who were already engaged in their meditation. So they had their hands outstretched, palms up.
Carrie quickly took that same pose. I remember thinking as I was closing my eyes, okay, wait, this is the one where we focus on the third eye, right?
Oh, so that was your seventh question?
That's the danger of, I guess, you know, the hopping that we do from idea to ideas, then I'm thinking, oh, wait, okay, wait, what was all this? And trying to remember all the scads of information I had read from the SRF. But yes,
I did that too. And I remembered then, like, how much that hurts. It really strains my eyes.
To focus on the third eye.
Yeah, because you're supposed to actually, like, look up at the area above, like, your nose between your two eyes. You're supposed to physically look at that with your eyes. But your eyes are closed, of course.
Right.
But if your eyes were open, imagine that they'd be very much crossed like Klieg lights.
I remember at some point someone giving a talk about that and saying, you know, you don't have to really like...
strain.
Yeah, exactly. It should be comfortable. So I remember that was a nice moment for me because I thought, oh, this was uncomfortable. I'm not going to break my eyes
over. It's hard for me to like get anything close to it though without it being somewhat strained. I'm doing it now. Are you doing it now?
It feels like you can kind of go halfway with your imagination.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I'm suggesting it with my eyes.
Yeah, you're looking a little inward and upward, but
not really.
Exactly.
I'm really more looking at like the top of the bridge of my nose. I'm pointing at it for you.
Right.
Like here instead of like here.
Yeah. Same for me. So.
Well, good. We got that figured out.
So
that was my big question.
Yeah. So we're ready. They have a screen, a lot of screens up. So we all have visibility of what's going on in the next room. And they're live streaming it to the world.
Yeah. So you guys can go watch this on the website, probably.
Assuming it's, archived there. On the screens, they had the photos of Paramahansa Yogananda, picture of him we had seen many times before, looking benign and happy. And then in the middle, they had like kind of a relatively small photo of Sri Marilini Mata.
Right.
With some flowers, like almost a lei draped over it.
Yeah, I was thinking how this is one of the few places where you'd go to a memorial service and see way more and bigger pictures of someone other than the deceased.
Right. Yeah, that is unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, her picture was like an 8x10 glossy up in the front. And then his were like these massive things that were probably like 4 feet long by 2 feet high.
Yep.
Yep.
just the way she would have wanted it.
Truly.
So it was supposed to start at 7:30, and it was not too long after that that it actually got going. Oh, they did tell us that we weren't allowed to have water in there.
Yep, we had to send our cups out.
Said, gulp that down and send your empty cups. So we did that.
We did.
So I think it was the first gentleman who came up. They were all wearing these, I want to say saffron robes. It seems like saffron brings a few different colors to mind, but it's this kind of deep, rich orange.
Yeah, I love that color.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite colors. It's like a dark creamsicle orange.
I'm looking up the word saffron. It's a Persian herb. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think saffron. I've done this before.
Oh, look. Okay.
You get a range from kind saffron of a golden color to...
Is a color that is a tone of golden yellow, resembling the color of the tip of the saffron crocus head.
Yeah, that's a bit lighter than what they had. But well, anyways, anyway, it's a beautiful orange. So they came up in those robes, and the first gentleman had a goatee. Maybe it was a beard, but he led us in a repeat after me chant.
Yeah.
So we did that.
We repeated.
And we invoked all the gurus. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Mother, Mother,
Friend,
Beloved God,
Beloved God,
Jesus Christ,
Bhagavan
Krishna,
Mahavatar
Babaji,
Lahiri
Mahashai,
Swami Sri Yukteswar,
and our blessed Guru,
Paramahansa Yogananda,
saints of all religions,
we bow to you all.
And we're saying chant, but it's like somewhere in between chanting and just recitation.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, there are other times where we chanted where it's definitely like in the cadence of a chant, but sometimes it wasn't so much.
This was one where, especially with all the names we were saying, I felt to someone who had never experienced this out of context, it would sound really creepy.
I thought that a couple times. And then I thought, well, in the Christian church where I grew up, there are definitely things that would sound creepy out of context,
too. The Lord be with you.
Right.
And also with you.
And also with you. Yeah, like,
you know. We lift up our hearts. We lift them up to the Lord.
A room of 300 people saying that. That's weird, too.
That's true. You can get 300 people to say anything together, and it can sound pretty creepy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
To honor the heavenly ascension.
To honor the heavenly ascension.
Of our beloved.
Of our beloved.
Shri Shri Lili Mata.
Shri Shri Lili Mata.
Who has gone ahead of us?
Who has gone ahead of us?
And to express our gratitude.
And to express our gratitude
for the love and kindness.
For the love and kindness
that she manifested while with us.
That she manifested while with us.
Though she leaves a void.
Though she leaves a void.
And we will miss her.
And we will miss her.
Yet we are happy.
Yet we are happy.
That she is enshrined.
That she is enshrined.
In our hearts.
In our hearts.
We offer her.
We offer her.
Our love.
Our love.
And everlasting goodwill.
And everlasting goodwill.
Om Shanti.
Shanti.
Peace.
Peace.
Amen.
Amen.
And how did it start?
With music.
Oh, that's right. So it was a little concert. And then I'm looking at that instrument. I'm going, what is that called again?
So everyone who wants to play this game along with Ross's brain,
it's a box.
Yeah, it's a box.
And like there's a back panel of the box that is on a hinge. And that's sort of the bellows that drives
this. Like an accordion, but only goes halfway.
And it sounds like a relative of the accordion, but
and then an also Indian one. Like an accordion, someone is playing the ivories on the other side of it.
Tickling them.
Yes, tickling them, if you will. Yeah, and it's very, very pretty. And I've actually seen someone play that in person at a yoga class, which was pretty cool.
And it finally came to me. I think it's the harmonium. I didn't check to see if I was right.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Let's look.
Has a very cool sound.
Looking it up.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I've never seen one out of the context of Self-Realization Fellowship.
Okay, well, I saw it at that one yoga class, so.
Oh, perfect.
So they do exist in the wild. Yeah, it makes a very pretty sound.
Everyone in the audience knows these songs. Mm-hmm. And again, we're like, oh, we've heard this before, but we're not ready to sing along.
Right. They catch you by surprise because like sometimes there'll be like three or four repetitions that are the same. And
so
then the
you
fifth
join
one,
in on the fourth
yeah,
one.
And then yeah. the fifth one's like shoots all over in six different directions. You're like, oh, never mind.
So we mostly listened, but then when we were familiar with something, we'd pop in and mm-hmm. join the fray.
Door of my heart, open wide, I keep for thee. Door of my heart, open wide, I keep for thee. Wilt thou come, wilt thou come, just for once come to me.
Played that music, they dimmed the lights, and then when that came to a close, the monks who were on stage started coming up one at a time to pay their respects to
yes.
Sri Mrinalini Mata.
These were all wizened, aged monastic members. I would assume that they're all like kind of high ranking, maybe possible successors.
Maybe.
I would say the equivalent of the College of Cardinals within the Catholic Church. I was wanting to know the successor. I'll spoil it now. They never mention anybody who's taking over, which makes sense.
Which, as you know, was our second question.
Right. And I wasn't really expecting that because you wouldn't do that at a memorial anyway. Say,
right.
And.
Well, unless you're David Miscavige.
Yes. Oh, that famous 1986 event, which you can find online of David Miscavige just seizing the reins
That's
of Scientology.
So crazy.
He had his own night.
Wouldn't it have been great if David Miscavige showed up tonight and was like, I'm taking over?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So a few different people got up to speak. Some had more interesting thoughts to share than others, but sure. They were all very sweet. And
I had to pee again by this point. Which is really unfortunate because they were all long of thought. And it's a contemplative faith.
Mm-hmm.
People speak very slowly and sometimes stare at you for 10 seconds before talking.
Uh-huh. And we were also really the dead middle of our row. So mm-hmm. getting up to pee would mean getting a lot of people to move.
I'm going to hold it.
I hate that situation.
Oh, yeah.
It's why I ask for an aisle seat on every plane.
Oh, because you want the freedom to move about the cabin.
Well, I hate asking other people to get up for me.
Gotcha.
I'd rather the other people had to ask me to get up.
That makes sense. That's true. I would much rather be inconvenienced than inconvenience. Yep, yep.
Yeah, so these first few people just kind of reflected on the type of person she was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few through lines. She was clearly very devout and very humble. A lot mm-hmm. of people really remarked on her humility to the point that I actually bought it.
Yeah, right, right. At yeah. first, you're like, oh, okay, she's humble,
she's
sure.
Humble. Mm-hmm.
But you hear it enough and
you're like, oh, maybe.
So I thought that was pretty cool that A, they would have two women as their leaders in a row for many, many years.
Yeah.
And they would choose someone who clearly didn't aim for that. It didn't seem
right.
to be her goal at all to be a leader or be
Definitely.
In charge of things.
In fact, people kept saying we would ask her to come to convocation and to speak, and instead she'd stay home because she wanted to continue her life's work. And her life's work was to complete the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda.
He had kind of left them with her, lo, these many years ago, and said, I really want you to edit them and pull everything together. And so
I think a lot of them must have been on tapes is kind of the impression I got.
Maybe.
And so she needed to transcribe them.
And I feel like she was taking his lessons as well and incorporating other pieces from his other, just making sure everything was all consistent and all in there
right.
in one place for the true student of the SRF.
And which is something that could have so easily been passed to a lower member.
Right.
But she was like, he told me to do this. He told me to do it when I was 15. And now how old was she when she passed?
87, I think.
87. I'm still Somewhere working on it.
You know? Yeah.
Amazing.
And so Sri Dayamata, her predecessor, had been in that position for like 55 years, some mm-hmm. crazy amount of time. And so she had been involved all that time, Mrinalini Mata, as an editor of a all of these works. So she had been working on this all the time. She had been releasing books, like a couple in the 90s, I think. And then mm-hmm. she was still working on this update of the lessons, which we are told will come out next year, probably.
Yeah. Someone used that as like an actual laugh line.
That was a joke later on. Right. So I guess it had been a running joke that people were waiting for this. I was thinking of kind of that reboot of L. Ron Hubbard's works mm-hmm. where they kind of mm-hmm. re-released everything and made them all buy it again.
Right.
But I feel it won't be as obnoxious or coercive as that
yeah.
was.
Yeah. I mean, our impressions of SRF have been pretty positive.
Yeah. They're on my short list of like, if your religion took over the world, we'd
be
okay.
Be fine. But I had forgotten that Paramahansa Yogananda comes off like a little obnoxious in stories to me.
Right. He has just the right personality that would piss you and me off.
Yeah, definitely. He like, should run the OTO.
Yeah, right. Where he wants to like make some little point that just makes him look a little better and you look a little silly, a little foolish.
And people told these stories at her memorial service that were intended to make Paramahansa Yogananda seem just such a lovable rascal. And mm-hmm. And then Sri Mrinalini Mata look just like the greatest student and the most humble servant. Mm-hmm. And the second goal was achieved. The first goal, I don't know. Uh-huh. I just kept hearing the stories and being like, oh, he just still sounds like a jerk. I forgot about this. Like he would say all these teachings to Sri Mrinalini Mata, asking her to take them down. And then it sounded like she was just like quietly writing them. She was a mm-hmm. pretty quiet person. He'd say, why aren't you responding? Why aren't you telling me what you think of all these?
I got the impression that he was actively trying to get responses from her and have
right.
a dialogue, and she wasn't and actively then, participating.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if you're like 15 and like your guru is like, take this all down.
And now give me your
opinions. And now why aren't you responding? And so then when she didn't respond, he like put her on the silent treatment for days.
He didn't talk to her for like 2 or 3 days at a time. But then, like,
Jesus.
Well, he said, I'm not going to talk to you until you talk to me.
Right.
And yeah, all right. And so she would start writing him notes and then they could communicate that way. So it was kind of a cute story.
Kind of. It's, but it was peppered with little like ways he would insult her that are supposed to be endearing. And I was like, you had all the power in this story.
Another.
He seems like an okay dude, just kind of annoying.
Another thing I hadn't really been thinking about that was fun to be reminded of is that a lot of people tell stories about responses he had given them in their minds.
Didn't pick up on that.
They mentioned one tonight where, you know, someone would say something to Paramahansa and they would receive the answer just directly into their mind. And he was always much nicer than when he responded directly in their minds.
I wonder then if he invited that, if he would like stare at them.
There was like an understood form of communication that sometimes...
Oh, I want to know what was actually going on in his head.
It was one of his mystical powers that he could speak.
Let's try it now. I'm going to send you a message.
That's inappropriate for the radio. Jeez.
I really did that too. Do you want to guess?
Oh, what you said?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking something over and over.
You're thinking you've got to pee.
No, I was thinking that I love Ella.
Oh, of course.
I tried to give you an easy one.
Okay.
Love is the law, love and your will.
That would match my facial expression. I was just thinking 47 is my favorite number.
Oh, okay. No, didn't
That's
get
pretty
it.
Pretty specific.
So maybe it's hard to communicate without sound.
Or maybe it takes practice. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
So they were telling all these lovely stories about her. The first guy kind of told his round of tales. And then there was another guy who came up and he was from the Yogoda Satsanga, the YSS school in India.
Yes.
I feel if he had the opportunity to speak with total candor that he might have been a bit annoyed with her at times. Because he was saying how, you know, they have the school out in India and the predecessor, Sri Dayamata, she would visit continually over the years.
Yeah.
And come see the school. How's it going? And Mrinalini Mata used to come along with her for a time between 1972 and 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd never gone back since then. Mm-hmm. And then when she became president, he would come to her and say, hey, would really love for you to come out to India and see our progress. They'd all love to see the leader of the SRF.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wasn't doing it. And she had her excuses like, oh, well, this is my life's work. And this is how I visit India, by working on these books.
He said that she gestured to all the books and said, these are my trips to India. I took that to mean like the time that I would have spent on the trips to India is instead spent on these books. So here are the trips. Do you see what I mean?
Oh no, definitely okay. Was that. Oh. But at the same time, it's like, come on, you can take 1 week and pretend you got sick or something and come out to India.
Pretend you got sick. I think they noticed her there. But I think she was just shy.
Yeah,
I think
clearly,
this is like most of the explanation is she didn't want to go on her own.
The limelight. And that's why we never saw her.
Yep.
But you would walk into one of their bookstores and you'd see 80% Paramahansa Yogananda's picture, and then you'd see 19%
Sri Dayamada,
and then you'd see 1% of the current president.
That was just obviously like the token
right.
nod like, to her.
Are you just kind of a seat filler functionary? What do you do?
Right.
It was that kind of person. So was that one of our questions going in? What
do you
do?
Yeah, that was like our ninth question was like, what's your deal?
We only had 9 questions.
Yeah. Going in.
I just got that impression, like if he could truly say that he was a little annoyed with her over that, he would.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like in the culture of the SRF, whenever something is not going the way you would like it to, that's a moment for you to pause, step back, and look at, oh, what lesson am I learning from this? And so,
which is great impulse.
Sure. Yeah. And so there's always kind of this positive spin on it. So he found ways to really find what was actually great about her in that she did not come to visit.
I think that's awesome. I also think it's a tendency of most people after a death, though, is to like spin.
To eulogize. Spin, yes, true. Yeah.
The,
you always
the
get
negative
up
into the positive.
Say nice things. Absolutely.
Yeah. Except for that episode of Dawson's Creek where that one bitch dies and then, you know. Did you ever watch Dawson's Creek?
No. Enjoy your moment.
Early on, I think it might be season one, this like character that everyone hated dies. And I think it's Jen gets up and is like, let's be real. This girl's a bitch.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a very memorable episode
Truth
of Dawson's
power.
Creek.
Yeah,
power being dead
yeah.
people. Yeah, you might be right. But I also think, you know, he genuinely did see a positive thing in there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then he was talking about other ways that she, you know, loved watching his reports and videos that he would send and reading the updates about what the YSS is doing.
Oh, yeah. That did give me that feeling of like, you know, when you have to talk about something and you have like tiny straws to grasp at and you're like, okay, well, she sent us these nice emails, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It did feel like that. And also I really had to pee. So I was like, move on, buddy. Okay. Move on. We get it.
Yeah. So how many people spoke? Did you count them? You're the numbers guy.
Yeah. I want to say it was like five.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, if too. We're both saying it has to be true,
it
right?
It must be true. Yeah. There are a few people in between that, yeah, just kind of like harp on the same subjects. But I felt like we really got to the meat of the matter when this one guy came up.
Yeah. He had a friendly face. His hair was parted down the middle.
Yeah. I noticed that too. He had a little bit of bread head.
And so, yeah, you could see his scalp quite a bit, and then his hair was long and would kind of flow off to either side. And he had a face that reminded me of Billy Graham a bit.
Oh, okay.
And I kept looking at him thinking like, oh, in another life, you could have easily been this kind of Midwest preacher.
Oh, huh.
But no, you're this contemplative man of the SRF, and Self-Realization Fellowship.
He, like Billy Graham, had great stage presence.
Oh, yeah.
Really good at delivering a good line, but not in a like manipulative way.
And everybody seems like a real sweetheart.
Yeah, definitely.
And he definitely did too.
It definitely seems like this system either brings in people who are very good-hearted and sincere or creates them.
Or, yeah, turns them into that. And that wouldn't surprise me with the culture. So, yeah, he had, I think, the best stories. And he told this really sweet story about how her favorite hobby was just cleaning things and cooking.
This is so sweet. So, yeah, when she started at the SRF, she loved to scrub floors. And, yeah, cook and clean in general, but especially scrub floors.
Yeah.
And so then finally, she had joined with her family, and her family was kind of a big deal at the SRF.
Very influential, apparently.
Yeah, and so Paramahansa Yogananda pulled her aside and said, I don't want you to focus so much on the cleaning. I want you to be a bit of a scholar. I want you to study writing and English. And
read Shakespeare,
like,
read
Emerson. Yeah, and she's like, but my thing is cleaning. That's my thing. Even after she had accepted this teaching from Yogananda that this is how she should spend her life, she still would go back and like clean the floors in her spare time.
At 3 a.m., they said. Yeah, there was another person starting up for the day and would find her on the floor scrubbing and say, you know, there are mops. And said, this was a little sanctimonious, but like, oh, but I feel the floor is the most sparkling and beautiful if I do it by hand. Okay, it feels like this story has maybe mutated over time.
Oh, maybe. You know, I'll be honest, it made me really want to clean my kitchen floor.
Really?
Which, as you can see, it's behind me, is a little messy. So we learned that her birth name was Myrna Brown.
Myrna Brown, born in 1931.
And her mother was Vera Brown. And we learned the names of a bunch of their family members. Right.
And they all got new names when they became members at
Monastics.
So it seems like the whole family became kind of highly placed members.
Except her dad.
Interesting.
He said that the dad was like very much a supporter. I think he either outright said or hinted that the dad gave money, but that he never officially became an SRF member.
Ah, interesting. And Paramahansa Yogananda himself, Guruji, had a funny little joke where he would refer to everything as BB and AB, before Browns and after Browns.
So cute. So she was born in Kansas. She grew up in San Diego, and there is an SRF temple down there. So we presume she went there.
Well, Carrie, that is very interesting. But did you know that Maximum Fun has other shows?
No.
We are not the only show on Maximum Fun.
What?
Fun fact. They have one other show. It's this one.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, "What do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man."
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon and say, "Us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons and Dragons."
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective, against all odds.
Everybody, we're the McRoys. We host the Adventure Zones, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.
She was 15 when she joined the monastic order, as we mentioned, and Paramahansa Yogananda would constantly tell her to get my thoughts. So as he would be pontificating about his different ideas for humanity, she would, it sounds like, just sort of follow him around with a notebook and take it down, or maybe a recorder. She had to get his thoughts.
That's another reason why I'm really curious about the succession, because so far, everybody else has been either directly appointed by Paramahansa Yogananda, or they had worked very closely with him.
Yeah, at least knew the guy.
And since he passed away in the mid-50s...
We're running out of people.
Right, that's a dwindling pool. So,
yes.
So I'm sure they're going through those questions right now. I don't know what the politics are like there.
Yeah, that's kind of our ninth question is like, what are the politics there? How does this happen?
Really curious to know. But we looked and it took about 2 months after Sri Dayamata passed away for them to announce her successor. So maybe we'll have a similar time span here.
So Paramahansa Yogananda, who they also refer to as Master, he said to Sri Mrinalini Mata, I've been given all these thoughts, but it's not my responsibility to organize them. That got a laugh. So it was her responsibility to take all these brilliant thoughts and put them down on paper.
There's so many different little permutations of everybody's name. He's referred to as Master. He's referred to as Guru, Guruji, Paramahansaji, Yoganandaji. There's just all these different ways you can refer to the same person.
Yeah, definitely.
They were doing that with all of the above. Sometimes it'd be Srimata or Mataji or many different ways to conjugate it.
This guy also said something that just like for a second brought me to Scientology. He said that you should always use a dictionary as you're looking through these teachings because there might be a word you don't understand.
Right.
I was like, oh, L. Ron Hubbard would agree with that.
Yep.
So this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Master Paramahansa Yogananda took on all of Sri Mrinalini Mata's karma for her.
Yes.
Very Jesus-like claim here.
My red flag was instantly raised because they were telling the story of him telling her, the reason you were sickly when you were young was because, I was like, red flag. In a former life.
Red flag.
Red flag higher. You took
had a
on
virus.
You took on the pains of so many others. You took on their bad karma upon yourself. And that's why you suffered like that. And so, yeah, then he told her that I have taken your karma. Now, what does that mean?
Well, first of all, it means you're making a pretty Jesus-like claim.
Well, he asked her that. He asked her, what does that mean?
Oh, I see.
He asked her to
she did not respond as I am.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're making a pretty broad claim.
And so she said, geez, I don't know. And he said, well, I will tell you in the future, which is apparently right now, because I don't think he ever told her.
They did tell us, though, that it meant that everything she endured, any difficulties she went through, would then be because she was taking on other people's troubles or karma because her own slate was clean.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It just kind of implied what a great servant she was, that any difficulty she went through wasn't even because of her own karmic slate. It was because she was serving others.
Right.
Apparently, he also told her that he had known her in many lifetimes.
Oh, right.
He said, we've had them.
We've had many conversations before, and she was upset about that. Oh, that's not fair. I want to know.
Them. Yeah. And he's like, well, very good. Patted her on the head. I distinctly remember he patted her on her hair.
Clearly, she was a very devoted devotee because when he mentioned that he was going to be dying soon, she said, take me with you.
Aww.
And then she felt kind of guilty, saying, oh, well, that's very presumptuous of me. I'm sorry. You don't have to take me with you. And he said, oh, well, I could do that. Again,
yes.
Him being Paramahansa Yogananda. I have to use 9 syllables every time I say his name. But he said, you have a mission here. Who would carry on my work?
Right.
She couldn't come along.
A little bit of a compound, but okay.
But I do have the power.
But I could, but I won't.
Totally could.
It's pretty much the same if you see it happen as if I say that I could do it. So she did say near the end of her life that it felt wonderful when she was finally done transcribing or coalescing, collating, whatever she was doing, putting all these
I'm getting the impression together. That even after Lo these many years, she still wasn't quite done. And that's why it's going to take them a year-ish to get it all out.
Oh, interesting.
But I'm guessing she was done enough. That's
okay.
My guess.
I felt like she was actually done. You know, I think it was partly because she died so soon after. And I have heard of so many people in my extended world who, you know, their bodies did kind of, their bodies were like trying to hang on for them because they were trying to hang on for something.
Okay.
And so I just kind of bought like, okay, like when you were done and you had been pressing yourself to go on, your body was ready to expire.
To speak a little bit just about their kind of theological underpinnings of the afterlife, one of the monastics earlier on mentioned that heaven is not where we go when we die, because it even says in the Bible, heaven and earth shall pass away. So those are temporary. Instead, they believe that there's this kind of underlying realm beneath all of existence. And it's kind of this like wheel within a wheel within a wheel, or sphere within a sphere of energy. And that's like the true nature of all things. And we just live in this world of appearance.
Right. And kind of reminds me of Christian Science.
And they were constantly mentioning that that's where Guruji has been all this time, that she is going to go join him, and that he wants her to come there and make whatever it was she was cooking for him, curry.
Oh, yeah, because she was a really good cook.
For Sri Yukteswar, his instructor. And so anyways, toward the end, this gentleman who was telling all these great stories, he was talking about seeing her in her final days. And he was layering on top of his straightforward physical description of seeing her as she became less and less attached to her body. And he was talking about this underlying power that he felt just surging from her.
Yeah, which he said was the feeling of her shredding her karma. So, which presumably she had gotten from all these other people, I guess. But she was shredding any karma left that she'd taken on.
And he said it just felt
powerful. And he could feel that in the room. And he felt that specifically on July 27th.
Yes.
Yes, he gave us that date. Because on July 20th, she had finished her work and he did like talk to her after that. And she was just very happy and sweet and light. Then July 27th, man, there was just this power coursing through the room.
And yet he was saying like she was already pulling away from her physical body. So clearly she wasn't responsive at this point. So yeah, I wanted to picture him there and, you know, all of this going on inside his head, presumably, that he's experiencing all of this coursing, surging power from her.
When you say she wasn't responsive, did you picture her being like in a coma or something?
You know, just kind of passed out and and not showing any signs of responsiveness. I think he kind of alluded to that.
Okay, she, I missed that.
She wasn't talking. She wasn't coherent.
And then she died on August 3rd. So there are 2 weeks here between her finishing her work and her passing away.
And because he was so close to her in her final moments, again, I was thinking, oh, I wonder if he's the successor.
Yeah.
My money's on him right now.
Yeah. I wonder if he's the one who sent that email. Because remember, when we got the initial email, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is the guy who will take over. Because I don't know. I just always feel like whoever just steps up to the plate and is like, I'm gonna handle the passing of the last person and like help you all figure this out and emotionally deal. That always seems to be the person to me who has the best odds.
You would hope they would think about the succession plan before you get to this point as well. But yeah, I don't remember their names, just that they would introduce each other as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and they all had kind of their own assumed names within the SRF.
Right.
I regret, Carrie, that I must stop because we have some important messages to share.
Oh, okay.
In the form of a Jumbotron.
Jumbotron.
That's right.
I know what you're thinking. This is the most awkward time to have a Jumbotron.
In the middle of a memorial?
Yeah, but sometimes you're at a memorial and someone brings out an enormous screen and makes an announcement, like the Kiss Cam.
Do they really bring that out in the middle of like a...
No. Will you do that at mine if I die first?
Sure.
Okay. Great.
A real Jumbotron.
I'd like that.
It's a good time for heart. And I think these messages have a lot of heart.
Definitely. The first one is actually for Monroe Cook, who has a great name.
True fact. And it is from her mom and dad. And they say, happy birthday, Monroe.
Thank you for being as kind-hearted, rational, thoughtful, and hilarious as your favorite podcast on Rack. Oh, well.
It is so fun to watch you grow up. We love you and hope we have embarrassed you exactly the right amount with this message.
And now let's listen to Ross and Carrie say,
ow, 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 ow. Ow.
And then we've got another Jumbotron.
Ooh.
For Shelby from Andy.
Happy birthday to the smartest, sanest, most beautiful ex-Scientologist I know.
Aww. I'm looking forward to many more years of happiness, rationality, and listening to OnRack with you. I love you.
P.S. Let me know when you want to conduct our own investigation of
Ekankar.
Yeah.
Ross and Carrie, you're invited too if you can make it out to Minnesota.
Nice.
That's very sweet. There's actually an Ekankar near us. I can't say more.
So we'll probably do that one. But tell us how it goes in Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right. And I've got to throw in my own little personal message to the world.
Oh, okay.
We get that crevasse and crevice are different words. That was the point of the story. So you can stop sending us grammar links to explain...
The difference between crevice and crevasse.
That's exactly why we told that story, to say that when we were kids, we were confused by this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we've all learned something.
Can I, as long as we're doing PSAs,
yes.
Can I do a PSA?
Sure.
Twitter's public, you guys. So if you tweet at me or at OnRack saying, hey, you should do this investigation, you're actually lowering the odds of us doing that investigation.
Hey.
Whoa. So email us privately.
Something to think about. And we continue.
Now I know what you're thinking. Guys, your first question was, did she leave the body willingly? Well, did she? We're not sure, but we don't think so.
Doesn't sound like it. No, certainly it wasn't the Mahasamadhi.
Yeah. If it was, it wasn't stated as such. So the impression I get is, like we were talking about, she wasn't that sort of revered holy figure the way Paramahansa Yogananda was. And this is one of those groups where each successor is not as powerful as the original one. They're all just sort of students of his.
One of those sisters who gave a talk, I was kind of surprised at this because she was describing Sri Mrilini Mata as being this just really powerful, higher level being. She was surprised that she was even on our plane.
Yeah, on this plane. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so that was like a really strong statement where I was thinking, oh, she didn't seem like that effective or visible of a leader. But she was saying, no, this woman clearly was this higher spiritual
being.
When
I saw her for the first time, I thought, oh, it's so rare that such a person is even on this plane.
So yeah, that really hit me like, oh, wow, okay, they really revere her for her spiritual attainment.
And that's kind of when I thought, oh, maybe we will hear about her leaving her body willingly. But nope, didn't really go that direction again.
And one of the stories that the brother had told us, the one that we really liked, he was saying there was a story where Paramahansa Yogananda had said that he saw his guru, Yukteswar, passing from person to person. They were all standing there and he could see in his third eye his master jumping from body to body and going through everybody. But he said that after that, he stopped and he stood right next to Mrilini Mata, which is, wow, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, unless he just got tired. This lady's quiet, at least.
Yeah.
So this finished up with what they called the Rose Ceremony, which I was very excited about as a Bachelorette fan.
Oh. That's funny. I'm glad there weren't that many roses.
Yeah, definitely.
It started with a white rose.
Have you been following The Bachelorette?
No.
Oh, well, Ross, it has not ended well.
Mm.
Oh, it was a big disappointment at the end. But at least at the end of this rose ceremony for Sri Mrilini Mata, she did not pick Brian.
Okay.
God.
She's got way more sense than that.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyone would. Anyway.
So they started with the white rose for purity.
Purity and good actions.
And they had all said just how pure she was, both of mind and of voice.
And such like clear intention. You know, she just had this one life goal and she did it at the end. I respect that.
Yeah, totally. Then, and they had the red rose.
Red rose, which symbolized our love for her.
So the brother who happened to be holding that up, he had us all focus on it and project our love into that rose. And then he laid that down. Both of them were laid down in front of a portrait of her facing opposite directions.
I liked sending my love into that rose. That was fun.
Yeah, I did too.
And then after the rose ceremony, which by the way, was the full name was the Rose Ceremony of the Astral Ascension.
Excellent.
After that, we had the fire ceremony.
Oh, yes. Was there fire?
Yes. There was a little close-up of the fire. Did you not see it?
No, not that I remember.
Were you peeing yourself?
No.
Okay. It took you a while to think about that.
Yeah, I don't remember actually seeing any fire.
I wonder what you were looking at. Well, they...
I remember thinking, oh, are they going to have like some eternal flame or something?
Yeah, they kind of did. So they said the fire represents her soul, and then they lit some charcoal or something on fire.
I'm pretty sure I didn't fall asleep.
It was pretty little. It was like, I'm holding up my hands for you. Yeah, what is that, like 3 inches across?
Yeah, yeah.
4 inches across? Yeah, just like a little bit of what I'm guessing was charcoal, and they lit it on fire, and the flames were just a couple inches high. And
my brain must have wandered off.
That's funny, because I was thinking, wow, this is really cool cinematography, because they got the camera really up close to the flame, and then you could see all the followers out in the audience behind it kind of out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really neat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you would have loved it.
What was I doing?
I don't know.
Just wishing I could go pee.
But it's funny you mentioned not falling asleep. Because there was a point early on in the ceremony where we chanted for a long time.
It was a long, repetitive chant.
And it lulled me right to sleep.
Yeah, you were kind of leaning forward, and I thought, oh, she's really into it. And then, like, they'd gone on to talking a bit, and I was like, oh, wait.
She's still leaning forward.
Yeah, and something happened. I can't remember. Someone made a certain sound, and that bolted you upright. There was this kind of jump real quick. The guy next to you jumped.
Because of my jumping, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's probably used to it, though. There's got to be so much just random falling asleep at SRF, especially if you're getting 4 hours of sleep.
Right, per Paramahansa Yogananda. And then at the end, there was another chant that just kept going and going, the song where you just say Guruji over and over again.
I stayed awake for that one.
As did I, but I was really worried, like, oh, no, are we ever going to get out of here? And we were there for a little over 2 hours, and we can see at least 150 people in front of us where we're sitting, and all of them were holding perfectly still, perfectly well. I don't know why I can't do this. They're all practiced at it, I guess, because they've been meditating for long hours, but I kept having to move around or like put a foot, like I resisted putting my foot up on my other knee for the longest time. Finally, I was like, I gotta do it.
I wasn't thinking about whether I was squirmy. I wonder how I compared.
I gotta shift, and you know, then I'd be rubbing my neck or whatever it was. And so I felt just very conspicuously fidgety.
Oh, well.
What can you do?
Again, I'm sure they like see that stuff all the time.
Nobody tisked me.
That would be terrible if they did.
They're really, really good at holding still. I was impressed.
And not falling asleep.
I've got to move around. I've got to shift things. I can't hold the same position that
long. Yeah, I think I do too. I just kind of wasn't thinking about it in that moment. So then there was some more singing and... Oh, I do always have that thought too of like, what if this just lasts forever? Like, at what point do I get up? I also asked myself that about, you know, when Andy Kaufman read the whole Great Gatsby to an audience?
Oh, right, yes.
Like, would I have been one of the people who stuck around all 14 hours or whatever? Because at the beginning, there were like 100 people there or whatever, and it ended up with, I think, 2. And I was wondering, would I have made it?
Yeah, you're weighing that in your head like, okay, well, if I stick to the bit, then, okay, well, that could be many hours. So is it better to leave now or after 1 hour? I guess I might as well leave now if I'm going to leave at all.
And then if I could still come back in before it ends, it's basically like I was there the whole time because I still could tell the story about how it was still happening.
But it,
interesting.
It, by
anyway,
construction,
we stayed the
it
whole
was,
time and it was probably 5 minutes.
It was like the song that never ends because it could have gone on forever.
Yeah.
And the guy who was leading it, playing the harmonium, his head was kind of jerking quickly, kind of left and right. But also, like, his body was bobbing as well. So he had these multiple, you know, lines of action going on. And he was just clearly into it. I was like, oh, man, no, he likes it too much. We're never going to stop.
In this particular one, I wasn't really caught up in my head about it, though I definitely have in past things. I do think there's sometimes a little bit of a game of chicken about it. Just like, how long can we go? And we're sort of like playing with the limits of human attention, which is part of the goal here, you know.
Right.
But I love chanting.
Yeah, it can take a modicum of chanting.
Well, you probably need needed to pee very bad and are very hungry for reasons we will disclose later.
Indeed. So they gave the final benediction and we all wished her off with another column response.
Held our prayer hands up to our chests as you do when you say hello or goodbye to an equal at SRF.
That was it for the ceremony.
Yeah.
So it was
so
nice.
So what would you give funerals on a pseudoscience rating? Just
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, I guess we don't need to independently rate this. Yeah, it was nice to be back. It felt kind of nice just that we were welcome to come on in and participate. And
definitely.
Didn't feel weird being there.
No, not at all. And it kind of made me miss the SRF. I kept thinking like, oh, you know, I bet
totally
the
like, oh, we could
down
drop
the street.
Yeah, we could drop back by the Los Angeles Temple.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe we'll go back for one of their meditations sometime.
We should. And you all should come too. You know, we say we show up so you don't have to, but it's still an option.
You don't have to.
You don't have
but
to,
you can.
But you can. And we'll be there.
Well, that's it for this memorial and for our show.
Our theme music is by Brian Keith Dalton.
Our producer and co-editor is Ian Kramer.
You can support this and all our investigations by going to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Thank you to all of our donors. You are the best and you make this possible.
Yeah.
Definitely come by Facebook. Visit us there at facebook.com/onrack, O-N-R-A-C, because that's where you find pictures. That's where you find our posts, things that we share with you, follow-up, all kinds of cool things happening there. Come to Facebook.
Come to Facebook. If you've never heard of it, you're going to love it.
It's blue.
It is blue. Also, leave us a review at iTunes. Don't be a dick on it.
And remember,
Jai Guru Jai Guru Jai Guru Jai 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 Jai Guru Jai Guru Jai Guru Jai
Hey, Max Fun fans, it's me, Jesse, the owner of Maximum Fun. I've got a question for you. Will you help us make our shows better? We wanted to find a way to find out what the Max Fun community thinks about our shows. So we started something called the Max Fun Listener Panel. Basically, you subscribe to a podcast feed and twice a month or so, roughly speaking, we'll send you an episode of a show and instructions on how to fill out a quick survey about what you think about that show. 10 questions. Nothing too crazy. You'll be hearing existing shows that we're thinking about making changes to. Secret pilots of shows that we're developing that you'll only hear this way. Shows we're considering adding to the network. And what you think about them really matters to us. So to join the panel, it's easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/listener panel. That's MaximumFun.org/listener panel. Thanks for helping make Max Fun better.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.